Next on BYUSN, 13 Cougar football players were named to the All Big 12 teams yesterday by Big 12 head coaches. Which Cougars are first team All League players, and did they get it right? Utah State hires Bronco Mendenhall as its new head coach, and Utah's new offensive coordinator is former QB at BYU, Jason Beck, the latest on Cougar coaching influence in the Beehive State and football at the highest level.
It's like former Cougs to the rescue. Jeff Hansen of 24/7 Sports is going to break down the 2025 recruiting class, which players are his favorite, who he thinks might make an immediate impact for BYU. And a look at how Cougar basketball assistant coach Johnny Linehan's hometown helped shape him into who he is today in the latest Deep Blue.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official advocate of BYU fans everywhere. It is Friday, December 6th. I am Jerem Jordan. He is Cosmo advocate Dave McCann.
Is Cosmo, good morning, by the way, is Cosmo not the best mascot in college sports?
There's no question.
So
we're a little biased here.
Puddles, the Oregon Duck mascot, gets a lot of hype. So he's being interviewed somehow, some way on the McAfee show, Pat McAfee show, and then all of a sudden Cosmo comes up in the conversation. Take a listen.
Do a cartwheel.
That BYU Cougar, I see.
Come on.
That BYU Cougar does round off back flips over golf carts.
He almost died.
That's the best mascot in the game, college wise.
That Cougar.
Duval
that
Cougar's was number one, but.
He you lives know life and limb.
This guy, I know. Guy.
You know that.
With a mask on.
Clip without cursing from the Pat McAfee show.
Yeah, yeah. The duck had nowhere to go.
He didn't know
he
what
just
to do.
Had to go.
You're right. The duck is really fun.
Yeah.
I like the duck. My wife actually dry cleaned the duck's costume in high school when
really?
She was working. Yeah, fun fact. But Cosmo is the greatest, and it's fun that Boston Connor and the boys acknowledge.
When Cosmo jumped the golf carts and went through the Ring of Fire,
right?
We're sitting there going,
thanks, Johnny Cash.
Who comes up with this stuff? They have a committee going,
what do we do?
You know what? Let's do something really, how about we do this, and then add fire.
Yes.
and then let's do it live.
Cosmo continue, like, I don't know how he continues to elevate, because this year was like, oh, Big Noon Kickoff's coming. This is great. He skydives into the set, essentially. What?
Future Cosmos that are like 4 or 5, they got to go, I got to learn how to dance.
I got to go to space.
I got to go to space. I got to have no fear. I got to be able to climb up to the top of the scoreboard and beat a drum when it's windy. I'll tell you what. That future BYU quarterbacks, they're getting ready. Cosmos have to get ready.
I feel cool when Cosmo comes by and dabs me up. I'm like, dude, this is the greatest mascot in the game, and he wants to dab me up. Cosmo, you're the best. You know we love you. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
It really just comes down to being who we are.
I batted a ball up here.
How about that? 13 BYU players earning all Big 12 honors yesterday as announced by the conference, so let's walk through them. On the first team, Caleb Etienne at left tackle, Tyler Batty at defensive end, Will Farron named to the first team, also Will Farron named to the Big 12 co-special teams player of the year. How about that? Jacob Robinson, Keelan Marion on the second team, and then honorable mentions, Jake Retzloff, Waylon Lapuahu, Braden Keim, Jack Kelly, Isaiah Glasker, Mark Collins, and Blake Mengelson. Kelly also named honorable mention for defensive newcomer of the year. Tommy Prassis, honorable mention for defensive freshman of the year. Okay, did the league nail it?
I think it did for BYU. And when you tie for first place, you get some stuff. And this is a reflection of a team that was contending for the conference title. Caleb Etienne is a phenomenal story. Benched at Oklahoma State, comes to BYU, first team all-conference. There were no other Oklahoma State Cowboys on the first team on the offensive line.
You got to know he knows
but
that.
But Caleb was there. Yeah, you got to know. He was the one who was emotional after the game with Oklahoma State. He's such a success story, but he's not the quarterback, he's not the receiver, he's not the running back, he's not the kickoff returner that gets all the headlines. So I was happy for him. Tyler Batty, a little surprising, but I'm glad that he got it.
Yep.
He has been BYU's leader, and with that defense, started every game, had a nice game, picked off a pass in the last game. We know Batty's leadership. It's a great way to go out for Tyler Batty. So I'm excited about that. We knew the kicker would be first team. But those two surprised me.
Yeah, winning begets honors, like you said. Tyler Batty did not have all Big 12 first team numbers. He did not, but let's talk about it. 55 tackles is a good number, third on the team. 8 quarterback hurries, second on the team. That's good. He had more interceptions than sacks, Dave. He had 2 picks. He had 1.5 sacks. But you're right. His leadership, the perception of the impact he makes on the team on and off the field, see a certain video, is that he affects the team. And so that's pretty cool for Tyler Batty. He was BYU's lone preseason first-team guy. He becomes first-team guy as well. That's pretty cool. You mentioned Caleb Etienne, a guy that was at right tackle last year with Kingsley Suamati at left tackle. He moves over. He becomes a first-team selection. Wow. He could be a round 4-7 right. draft pick.
That Another would, left
that
tackle.
That would mean 4 left tackles in a row from BYU. Not years, but the starters.
Yeah.
Picked if that happens. This is left tackle U now, which is really fun. Will Farron, obviously money. 21 field goals ties the BYU single game record or single season record. If he makes 1 in the bowl game, that's a new record. Clutch at Utah, of course. He'll always be immortalized in BYU lore because of that play.
He's made 13 kicks in a row.
That's great. That's amazing. I think he's only missed 3 all year.
Yeah.
Fake field goal at UCF's iconic. The 54-yarder at Baylor was good, only 2 yards shy of the BYU record. He was fantastic. So congrats to those guys. Jacob Robinson, I could have seen an argument for him on the first team, perhaps, given BYU's prowess at interceptions and the fact that he and Tanner Wall led with 3. And then Keelan Marion, you mentioned this morning on our call, he totally could have been first team, right, with 2 kickoff returns for a touchdown?
His stats are better than the guys ahead of him, but he got second team for whatever reason.
And technically, I believe these are only supposed to be pulled from conference games, so one of them is against Wyoming. But you look at Keelan Marion on the year. He was fantastic. Like, BYU special teams, have they had a better season than this year, historically?
No, they've just been productive in a whole bunch of ways. And they have their moments where you're like, oh, don't run that one out. But this one
it's worth it when it happens like this, right? I think it was Johnny Linehan, not to be confused with John Linehan, who tweeted, it was worth starting at the 15 for 10 straight years to have those 2 kicks, which is really funny. So congratulations to those guys. By the way, the highest graded player via PFF, what's your guess? Pro Football Focus, highest graded player among all these guys.
Probably Kelly. I would think Jack Kelly would have been there.
It's a good guess. It is Jake Retzlaff.
Retzlaff.
It is Jake Retzlaff. But in this league, it's hard to be the guy at quarterback, right? Shedeur Sanders winning offensive player of the year.
How about you get honorable mention for a kid that was picked dead last by some services coming in?
Yes, PFF's number 16 quarterback,
which he
kept. He actually interviewed with those guys, too, which is fun. So he embraced, like, hey, I know you didn't think.
Hey, his new NIL endorsement got millions of tweets and likes yesterday. It was unbelievable.
Front Office Sports talking about it. We mentioned Stuart Mandel and Dan Walken. Even Schefter talked about it.
Adam Schefter put out a tweet.
If Woj was still giving Woj bombs, he might have, too.
It would have been a bomb.
Who knows?
Good for Jake. And he gets a little prompt here, and he's going to a bowl game, and he's a senior next year.
Yep. That,
we all know what happens when BYU has a senior quarterback with experience. It's usually a really good year.
In the system, I agree, because Keaton Slovis, kind of a one-year rental. He got hurt. It didn't kind of work out. But Jake having 2 years in the system.
Exactly.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it also goes back to what we both hit on. When you're 10-2, you get stuff.
Yep.
You get a really good bowl game, even if you don't get to the college football playoff. You get awards for your guys. You get so much attention that you can go get other guys.
Yep.
And we'll talk about the recruiting class coming up. But this is a good sign. I mean, last year was the result of losing 5 straight games in conference play. This year is the result of being 15 yards away from the Big 12 championship game. good for these guys.
I'd forgotten about it for a second, but it is what it is.
All right. I think it's awesome. I think and some of those guys are coming back. They could build on. Jack Kelly's got plenty of hype coming back.
I'm interested
year.
To Glasker, see.
Glasker, if he's back, has plenty of hype coming
right.
back.
Right. I'm interested to see who BYU can retain. You hope no one transfers away. The reality is there's a possibility that exists. Who sort of dabbles with the NFL? Like, does a Chase Roberts go like he said he intended to middle of the season?
Yeah.
Jack Kelly, does he have enough NFL buzz to want to leave? The nice thing is in the NIL era, you can actually make it worth their time by paying these guys a certain
amount. Some kids will make more here than they'll ever make there.
Right?
Right.
But as we've seen at Utah with Cam Rising, it felt like culturally that messed some things up there. And I think Utah fans would openly admit that. If not, whatever. But here, BYU is not about the mighty, almighty dollar, right? It's about fit, and can we be competitive in paying? Absolutely. Yeah. But is BYU going to go out and spend $1 million on a quarterback? They are not going to.
When Kalani was on this show the other day talking about his recruits, the first words out of his mouth were, they fit here.
Yeah.
And they fit the culture, and they're good kids.
It's a unique place.
They happen to be good players.
Yeah, but it's an awesome place to go to school and play football and be the most well-rounded version of yourself if you're a faith-based person. There's no better spot than BYU.
So we also woke up today to some interesting news about former Cougars. Utah State's hiring Bronco Mendenhall as their new football coach. And Jason Beck is Utah's new offensive coordinator.
Uh-oh.
Both coming from New Mexico. Both BYU guys, Bronco being that he coached here and Beck played here and coached here. But here come the Cougars to the rescue. But what surprises you more, Mendenhall to the Aggies or Beck to the Utes?
I thought that Bronco might be an option because earlier this week I tweeted, would you take Bronco Mendenhall or Jay Hill to Utah State or the field? And I got a lot of people saying, no, the field, it's not going to happen, no. And then, you know, Jay, we were hearing a week ago, it felt hotter that maybe he might go there. But Bronco ends up taking this job. After 1 year, he leaves New Mexico. A little surprised. I thought he'd kind of continue to build that. But they went 5-7, but they were top 10 in yards per game. Jason Beck is doing great work. So not super surprised, I guess, by Bronco because I talked to him in the airport in April. I said, why New Mexico? And he said, I love a challenge, and this is a challenge, this rebuild, right? And they didn't go to a bowl game, but they were way improved and way more relevant, right, beating Washington State. And then Jawbeck, as I like to call him, because in 06 they said Joe Beck and Jawbeck.
Right. A lot of backs.
Utah's got a guy that can produce some yards and some points here. Andy Ludwig was good, but if you're an offensive coordinator there, it hasn't been a place where you're able to sustain success over time. They got a guy. That could be trouble for BYU next year. Hopefully not, but we do love Jason Beck.
For both these guys, they come into no-lose situations, right? The Utah offense was abysmal. And now you get to come in, and anything would be an upgrade from what they had. And Utah State's in the same place.
They might bring Dampier, their quarterback from New Mexico, who is really good.
He is really good, and you know, sometimes these guys follow their coordinators.
Yeah.
We'll see about that because the almighty dollar's in play for a kid like that with the bigger schools too. But then Bronco comes in. Utah State's not terribly different from where New Mexico was, having gone through one scandals and losses and switching leagues, all these things. So Bronco comes in, much like he did really when he took over at BYU.
Yep.
Gary Croton had been dismissed. Lucky they kept football. There was a lot of trouble.
Yep.
Virginia, same thing. He goes to a bowl game. They have a parade, I believe, because it was the greatest thing ever.
Went to the Orange Bowl because Clemson went to the playoff.
New Mexico's at the bottom. He, in 1 year, you know, they'll love him forever there. And Utah State is at the same place. So anything he does at Utah State's an improvement. And then Bronco has a history of being successful. But I think of the young men up and down the I-15 here, they get to play for Kalani, get to be around Beck, and even Whittingham, and then now get to be around Bronco.
Yep.
That's a win-win for the parents, the families, but especially the young men, to be around any of those guys.
I believe, at the big three here of Utah State, Utah, and BYU, they've never all been Cougars at some point, right?
Right.
Bronco went to Oregon State and Snow, but obviously his tenure here, he's a Coug for 11 years. Kay Witt, of course, the 1981 WAC Player of the Year. Jawbeck there, Kalani. There are Utes scattered throughout as well. Jay Hill, Sione Puhon, the staff. I love these sort of crossover of the rivalry and whatnot. I think it's great. And then you look at Andy Reid with the Chiefs, of course. Sark with the number two Texas Longhorns. You look at sort of Lavelle's sort of tree there and the influence of his people and his coaches. It's just the influence of BYU in football is really fun to watch right now.
Now, Utah State's not on BYU's schedule.
It might not be
for a while. I don't think it ever will be. Especially now. And then I believe the Utes and Aggies still have to play. I think they did a 2-for-1 or whatever.
Because they were in Logan this
year. Up there.
Yeah.
So then that'll bring Bronco together with probably not Kyle, but certainly Beck.
And is it Kyle Whittingham going into next year? We still don't know the answer to that.
So Utah State's kind of up there, and now they're going into their own league that's new. So they're kind of a world apart. They're a G5, so they're a world apart from the P4s in the state. without a great relationship of playing each other. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's just going to be three independent. Well, the Cougs and Utes are tangled, but the Aggies are just kind of be up there as their own planet. But at least
in the Pac-12, they've
got life on their planet.
Right? Is it 26 when that starts? Or is it this year? I can't remember.
I thought it was next year.
Is it? But, Utah State going to Salt Lake in 26. So okay. That would be year two under Bronco Mendenhall. Yeah. Our question of the day is this. How do you feel about Utah hiring Ja Beck, Jason Beck, and Jamie Beck, who is an All-American soccer player, BYU, his wife, and Utah State hiring Bronco Mendenhall at Nana Y65? Great additions for both schools. The BYU program and legacy is legit. I just wish BYU could have snagged Jason Beck in some capacity. He's going to be tough next year. Yeah, well, Aaron Roderick's already the quarterback coach, so there's technically not an opening for someone like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Beck kind of like Sataki in that he loves BYU? I mean, they're a BYU family. They're just going to have a job at Utah. But
yes, you know, is the answer.
Yeah, you can't just take a shower and all of a sudden come out going, those guys are our enemy.
And let's not act like Jay Hill isn't a Ute. He's a Coug right now.
Yeah.
But he went to Utah and
he's kind of a Wildcat. He's Weber State was really good.
Right? And Kalani Sitake said, hey, I root for those guys when we're not playing them. Like, I spent 10 years of my life up there. Like, we don't like to think in that way as fans. But
that's
like,
why he's a better man than us.
yes, he is. At Brett Ross 6 on X. Looks like BYU is now the coaching factory, too. Absolutely pumping out amazing coaches. Oh, I forgot to mention Mike Holmgren, a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, a former BYU quarterback coach, among the great coaches who are in the news.
Listen, it's always been enter to learn, go forth to serve, and go forth to help coach.
Absolutely. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Ross Dellinger reporting that signs are pointing towards corporate jersey patches coming to college football. I'm surprised they're not here already.
Right.
But they do believe that they're certainly coming, and schools can make up to about $12 million annually by sticking a patch on the jersey. So I think every school could use $12 million.
Not those every school is going to make $12 million.
No. No, but what patch would you see, can you see on the Cougars jersey?
Rhodes Bacon Surf. this feels inevitable. If there's a buck to be made and it makes sense and it's within the rules, of course do it. The NBA has embraced this, right? Not so much in certain other sports. NASCAR is the example of the one who has done the most. But I don't see why not. It just got on the field this year. Now it's going to be on the jersey.
Yeah, there'll be a patch. There'll be a patch on there. Probably next season. You know, everyone's looking for a fast buck.
Yeah.
Just don't remove the Y for the, you know, don't
on
put the
one
logo.
Side.
Yeah. Like the Steelers. You got the thing over here, and over here you got In-N-Out Burger. Maybe that's coming. Maybe that's coming.
Depends. If we're part of this deal and we get one once a week, maybe. Okay, call your shot. Sunday we're going to find out. No later than Sunday, the bowl game. What BYU bowl game is BYU going to play in, and who are they playing?
I'm going to go with the Alamo Bowl in Colorado. Mm.
That feels the most likely.
Primetime. You know, you have Dion and a matchup where if they play their stars and they say they will, it's a great challenge for BYU. I want to see Jay Hill's defense against that Colorado offense and probably the Heisman Trophy winner.
Which, by the way, Travis Hunter went on a podcast yesterday and said he is playing in the game.
Okay.
So I'll eat crow on that one. Because I didn't think that he would actually play in the game.
Does that mean the first series? Does that mean the whole game?
He dresses and plays one play.
But I think that's an intriguing game. The others are good, too. But that's the one I'm going with. Who are you going with?
I think Iowa State is going to win the Big 12 title game because Jordan Tyson is out, the stud receiver for Arizona State. Therefore, ASU is going to go play probably Colorado in the Alamo Bowl. So I'm thinking Pop-Tarts against Clemson because SMU is going to win the ACC, so that's my guess.
Okay. All right, we'll find out.
I honestly don't care that much. We talked about it yesterday. I would prefer to play an ACC team and not a Big 12 team just because that's more interesting. But if Shador and Travis actually play, and Travis said he's going to play, then, yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Sure, why not? I'd like to see Jacob Robinson and Hunter matched up downfield.
That would be fun. That would be a challenge.
So if UNLV beats Boise State tonight, then that's good news for the Big 12 conference champion who wins the game Saturday.
Yeah.
Because then they would get the quarterfinal spot in the first round bye.
Be the fourth.
So I'm pulling for the Rebs. They're up there on
you
the
should.
Blue turf.
You should. You used cold. To call their games on the radio.
This is one of the greatest moments in the history of UNLV football.
Absolutely.
And they got a lot of great people involved in that program. So that one's tonight. That benefits the Big 12. So it's a win-win.
Yes.
If somehow they can slow down that running
this
back.
This is an easy move for you to today. Go for the Rebs.
Yeah, it's an easy one. Plus, Scarlet and Crimson are totally different colors.
Yes, they
They've
are.
Always been that way. All right, 5-seed BYU women's soft volleyball loses to Loyola Chicago. I was surprised as I watched it. It was quick. Three sets in the first round of the NCAA tournament. How surprised were you to see that?
I was very surprised. I thought BYU would win the match. Loyola Chicago served great. BYU couldn't pass. When you can't do that, that's tough. It was by 17 points. This wasn't close, which is really tough. BYU hit 164. That's a product of not being able to pass and find your hitters. So
the
unfortunately,
service errors were brutal.
Yeah, and then that's controllable, right? Yeah. Unforced errors. Tough finish. Young BYU team, as I've been saying all year, so I'm excited for the future for this team. They lose one starter in theory if everyone comes back, so it should be another good volleyball team next year.
Good. Awesome. Yeah. Hey, if you missed last night's debut of BYU basketball with Kevin Young, it is just waiting for you on demand at BYUSN.com.
Up next,
kind of a little bit of that. This is a whole new world
yes,
for Kevin
is.
Young.
Yes, it is. Up next, we'll take a deeper dive into BYU football's 2025 signing class with Jeff Hansen of 24/7 Sports. This is BYU Sports Nation.
These young men are such wonderful people. You can see that there's a lot of people that want to come here for the right reasons. They're going to be a huge addition to our program, not just on the field, but definitely in the locker room and off the field.
Tis the season for signings. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation and Studio B for your Cougar Sports day-to-day play-by-play. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. When we need to know what's going on with recruits, we talk to one man. One man. His name is Jeff Hansen of 24/7 Sports. Follow him on Twitter, Rakoto10. Jeff, what's going on today? How you doing? How's the sleep? Because I know this is a busy time of year for you.
Busy week. Sleep's lacking. I feel like I have a newborn in this recruiting class. I'm just tired all the time now.
I can relate. I got a five-month-old, and it's fun right now.
That's like 18 newborns.
Right?
It's a lot of
that.
Of work.
So BYU signs another really, really good class. They continue to improve in this. What stuck out about this group to you?
You know, for a long time, the narrative around BYU's recruiting classes was like, hey, look, everybody wants more 4- and 5-star guys. But BYU's got to recruit the bottom of the class better, like raise that floor a little bit. And I think that's what BYU did. You look at the way that this class panned out, everybody's a mid-3-star or higher with the exception of one. And he's a special teams player. They don't really get high ratings. Just that's kind of the nature for special teams guys. It is what it is. Everybody else was rated a mid-3-star or higher. That's good. I think this class lacks a little bit at the top. You want some of those flashy 4- or 5-star guys for sure. But BYU elevated their floor, and to me, that says the future depth of the BYU football team got better this week, and that's a good thing.
Jeff, when you've had a season like this, you're 10-2, you're going to finish in the top 25, you're going to a marquee bowl game, you get a play on primetime. What's the aftermath of this one? How soon does BYU reap the benefits of a year like this when it comes to recruits?
Yeah, Dave, that's a good question, because the way historically that it would have worked, you would have started to see those benefits in this recruiting class. Kalani talked about it on signing day. 16 of 18 guys that signed this week were committed before the season started. The NCAA has changed the recruiting calendar quite a bit, so guys are taking official visits in the summer now, not in December after the season is over. It was something like 90-91% of recruits across the country were committed before their senior season started. So a little bit weird, because I think that the flywheel, the real results from BYU's 10-2 season start to come in next year's recruiting class, because all of the guys in this year's recruiting class, they committed to BYU when they were coming off a 5-7 season, and the hype just wasn't there throughout the summer. That's when guys came off the board. So I do think the 2026 class, you'll start to see a little bit more of the effects of having a really strong season like BYU has had. And BYU closed well, so there were certainly some effects, and maybe you'll see it in the transfer portal as well. It was certainly a good thing for BYU, but I don't think you really get the meat and potatoes of this season's aftermath until next recruiting class.
Jeff Hansen of 24/7 Sports is on BYU Sports Nation. Which player stuck out to you as guys that in a couple of years we're going to be talking about quite a bit?
Yeah, there's three guys that really stand out to me. First and foremost is Tyler Payne, and he's a Payne. We know the Payne family. Even when they're kickers, they're still hitting people really hard. Tyler Payne is one of the state's leading tacklers, has been for his entire career. I had to reach out to him and verify. You're showing highlights here from this Bingham game. This was a playoff game for Weber, and I heard his stat line, and I was like, no, that's crazy. Tyler, is this true? 20 tackles and a sack in one single game, in a playoff game against Bingham. That's a big deal. Tyler Payne is that field general. He reminds me a little bit of Ben Bywater. Hopefully the health cooperates for T-Payne. He's good. I'm calling him Auto-Tune. Everyone's calling him T-Payne. I'm taking it one step further. I'm calling him Auto-Tune. He's the real deal. Really excited about Tyler. And then two guys that came to BYU from out of state. Vi Fatuli at the defensive line. I don't know if he's a tackle. I don't know if he's an end. He can do a lot of things. He's like, I think he's 6'3". He's 245 pounds today. He's a big dude, and he is physical. He's just starting to scratch the surface of the kind of player that he can be. Really good basketball player at La Habra High School as well. So he brings that raw athleticism and that versatility that BYU's coaching staff likes so much. And then Cale Breslin. And what I like about Cale Breslin, a running back out of Las Vegas, what I like so much about him is his attitude. I mean, he's a really good player, plays fast. He's a one cut and go type of a back. Reminds me a little bit of LJ Martin. I think he maybe has a little bit more speed, maybe gives a little bit in physicality, but really similar to LJ Martin. But it's off the field that makes me so excited about Breslin. He's a leader. He was super excited about BYU. When he committed to BYU, he later got a scholarship offer from Wisconsin. And when you think of Wisconsin running backs, they're pretty good. He was so locked in with BYU that he canceled his official visit to Wisconsin, didn't even bother to go out there and let the Badgers woo him because he loved Harvey Unga, loved Kalani Sitake, loves this program. I think BYU fans are going to fall in love with him when they get to know him a little bit more. He's an exciting kid, and he's got a ton of potential on the field.
Jeff, who do you think from this group, a lot are going out on missions, will we see in September, maybe even late August, once the Cougars come back out for 2025. Anybody?
Yeah, the biggest part of this equation is you've got to have opportunity to play, right? So, you know, a guy like LaMason Waller, he's a big-time wide receiver. BYU's got a pretty stacked wide receiver room. So you look at the opportunity, there's a really big need for tight ends on next year's roster. Out of Georgia, Tucker Kelleher, he comes to BYU. He had a bunch of G5 offers, and he comes all the way across the country, committed to BYU. I look at what he brings to the table. He's already a big, strong blocker at the tight end spot. He can go up and make catches as well, but his physicality, his size, I think is going to allow him to have a chance to get on the field. And then you couple that with the fact that everybody from the tight end room is leaving. Kelleher's going to have a chance, and BYU might need Kelleher really early on. So I've got him kind of earmarked early as a guy that might play as early as 2025.
Talk to me about the role of signing day for the sustainability of BYU football, because the Cougars have said out loud, and the perception is they're not going to just have a bunch of transfers and try and win that way. It didn't win. It worked that way last year with 31. They feel like, hey, we've got to grow our own, and then we'll sprinkle in guys that are good fits. These sort of rentals, if you will. They hope they have multiple years. But this is a really important day, even though we may not see some of these guys for a couple of years due to missions.
Yeah, it's a huge deal, right? I mean, this is what BYU's future is. I think every college coach, not named Dion and not named Lane, would prefer to sign high school guys and build a program that way. You get to train guys the way you want them to be trained. It's different. And I think guys in the portal, a lot of the time there's different motives. They, you know, maybe they're not going to assimilate really quickly into a locker room culture. I think BYU is right in wanting to start with high school guys. So for that reason, the signing day is always going to be a huge deal. Even if guys leave on missions, generally speaking, there's always the occasional guy that comes home and goes somewhere else. But generally speaking, BYU's missionaries, they go out on missions, they do come back, they do enroll at BYU. So even if that excitement of getting them on the field is delayed, it's still a really big deal when they sign today. High school recruiting is always going to be the bread and butter of BYU football. No matter how much we want BYU to, you know, have these five-star type guys, these ready-made NFL players, this is a development program. It has been since the days of Lavelle, and it will continue to be for the future. BYU has to have strong high school classes and have guys that they can develop, and that's what they'll rely on in the future.
Jeff, that being said, and I agree with everything you just said, the portal season's open. Where do you see BYU going to shop? Is it all up front on the defensive line? Is it that tight end spot? Even at running back, where do they go?
Yeah, I think tight end is a really obvious need. They just lose so much from that room to graduation, to transfers, to missions, a little bit of everything impacting the tight end room. So to me, that's the number one priority for BYU in the portal. They've got to find, you want to find starters, you want to find difference makers. They got to find depth at the tight end spot too. I mean, they really need bodies there. I think they could probably use an offensive lineman or two, specifically an outside guy, a tackle. I think they need some help there. And then on the defensive line, I'm really curious because I think on paper, you look at it and you say, yeah, you know, John Nelson's gone, Blake Mangelson's gone, Tyler Batty's gone. They need help along the defensive line. But I thought that last year, and the defensive coaches relied on development. They relied on Mangelson and Nelson and Josh Singh and some of these guys who maybe didn't flash on paper in terms of recruiting stars and things like that. But the coaches felt really comfortable bringing those guys in and relying on those guys coming into last year when I thought maybe they would make a run in the portal. I still think the paper, you look at the roster and it says they need some help at the defensive line. But the track record of these coaches, I don't know if they'll have that same desperate need for a defensive lineman that maybe it seems like they should have on the surface.
It still would be nice, though, to get that defensive end that gives you 6-plus sacks. Like, I'm still kind of waiting for that guy. Tyler Batty didn't produce the amount of sacks, but he did have 2 picks, so maybe that's worth a couple of sacks normally. Okay, BYU's composite score on 24/7, the average, has gone up from 82 to 86. 4 points in the last 5 years. Give us a sense of what that means in terms of improvement for this program in recruiting.
Yeah, I mean, it means BYU's getting better, right? That's what it is. When we do our evaluations, when our analysts, our national guys do those star rankings, they view that mid-3-star as a power four starter with NFL potential. And when you start to get into that lower 3-star, they say, well, that's more of a group of 5 starter who probably doesn't have a ton of NFL potential. That's kind of the difference between an 82 versus an 86. It's easy to look at the stars. There's a lot of nuance. There's a lot of 3-stars and a big scale of what a low 3-star is and a high 3-star is. So BYU is getting more talent, more power four talent, more NFL type talent that can be developed. They still have a long ways to go. Jeremy mentioned it. They go from 82 to 86. That's huge. They've got to get up closer to 89 to be towards the top end of the Big 12 conference. So I said this last year, and I'll repeat it again this year because it's still true. The progress that BYU has made should be celebrated. That's big news for BYU, but it's not done. They've still got to get a lot better on the recruiting trail in order to match their Big 12 peers. And that's who the competition is nowadays, right? The days of independence are over. You got to compare yourself to those Big 12 foes. And BYU still has room to grow, but absolutely the progress over the last 3 or 4 years has been substantial and should be celebrated.
So what does it say that BYU goes 10-2, ties for first place with this recruiting group? There's not a bunch of 5-stars and 4-stars, the 3-stars that you talked about, and that's the running theme with this new class. 10-2, you can actually pull it off, can't you?
Yeah, I think so. Kalani's talked about it a few times that at BYU, they've got to find a way to make the culture a competitive advantage. Now, when I say this, having a competitive advantage isn't the end-all be-all, right? Having strong culture doesn't mean you don't need talent, and it doesn't mean you don't need coaching. You need all of those things. But I think BYU's got a really unique opportunity in today's era of college football. You've heard different coaches, like Nick Saban. You've heard even Whittingham at Utah. Some of these throwback-style coaches talk about how hard it is to get their players to buy in. It used to be there was no other way to get paid playing football than to buy into what your coach was telling you to do and to hope you make it to the NFL one day. But nowadays, anybody can get paid at just about any school that they go to. It's a little bit different. But BYU has this unique opportunity where guys are already making sacrifices in order to play at BYU, whether that's lifestyle, academics, whatever it is. BYU is a unique place, and guys commit to play for something bigger than just football before they ever step into the locker room. And I think that is the competitive advantage that Kalani is talking about. And that's what you saw with this BYU team this year, that for Kalani, he's got a leg up on a lot of the other coaches across the country in terms of getting people to buy in, to sacrifice you know, maybe some of their summers to do those extra hard things to get better over the summer, to go that extra rep at practice. Kalani's got buy-in, and I think that that is BYU's competitive advantage going forward. They need more talent. They got to have strong coaching. All of that stuff remains true. But BYU's got something from this culture standpoint, and you saw the fruits of that throughout the season this year.
It's easy to be motivated when you lose your last five and you want to prove otherwise. Can BYU continue in this offseason to say, oh, we can actually win this league this time, win the tiebreakers in this crazy league? We shall see. Plus revenue sharing. We'll see what that looks like going into next year, too. Okay, let's end with this. What bowl game are you hoping for, and what opponent for the Cougars?
I'm with you, Jerem. I'm hoping for an ACC team just because it's different. And I'm hoping for the Pop-Tart Bowl because there was not a more fun bowl game in all of college football, including playoff games, than the Pop-Tart Bowl. So send me to the Pop-Tart Bowl.
What is it? Cinnamon Frosted third mascot or something came out yesterday. What are we talking about?
And if BYU's there, and if there's not a Cougar Tail flavored Pop-Tart, then that's the biggest misbranding opportunity in the world.
Don't bring up that drama from the Big 12 tournament again, Jeff. Here we go. Jeff, we appreciate the time. Follow Jeff on Twitter or X at Rakoto10 and 24/7 Sports. Jeff, thanks for the time, man.
Appreciate you guys.
Great stuff. Happy holidays.
Love Jeff. This is great.
Hey, if you missed any of our interviews or our shows, they're just waiting for you because that's what we do. Just provide content. BYUSN.com or download the BYU TV app, which is free, and you get all the BYU TV sports content on demand, plus all our shows on BYU TV. It's a great place to be.
Heck yeah. Which Cougar went off in El Paso last night, and which football player entered the portal? It's all in the headlines after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Hey, follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content all day long, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Jerem Jordan. He is former BYU basketball ball boy Dave McCann. Let's get to today's headlines.
Those were the golden years.
Yes, they were.
Warming up, Danny Ainge. 13 BYU football players were named to the all Big 12 teams yesterday, as voted on by the Big 12 head coaches, and they couldn't vote for their own guys. Caleb Etienne, Tyler Batty, Will Farron, first team. Farron named Big 12 co-special teams player of the year. What a year he had. Jacob Robinson, Keelan Marion named to the second team. Jake Retzlaff, Waylon Lapu'ahu, Braden Keim, Jack Kelly, Isaiah Glasker, Mark Allens, and Blake Mangelson all named honorable mentions. Kelly named honorable mention for the defensive newcomer of the year. And Tommy Prassis named honorable mention for the defensive freshman of the year. He'll always have that fumble return against Kansas State.
Oh, that was a great play. Football will learn its bowl game destination and opponent no later than Sunday. BYU's been named as a finalist for the Alamo Bowl in San Antonio, also identified as a potential team for the Pop-Tarts Bowl in Orlando.
I'm saying remember the Alamo, and you're saying give me a Pop-Tart?
Yeah, which okay. You tried for the first time this year, right?
Yeah,
this
fall? Yeah. It changed my life.
Nice.
BYU long snapper Dalton Riggs entered the transfer portal yesterday. The redshirt sophomore played in 12 games for the Cougs. And as you see right there, he'll forever be part of the greatest fake field goal in school history against UCF. How about that? He started that.
That was amazing. We'll see if Cannon Skidmore gets a scholarship or if they bring in another guy.
Yeah.
Cougars in the NFL headlines. Zane Anderson, how about this? Four tackles last night. Had a big one against the Lions. Chris Brooks, one carry for 3 yards for the Packers in a 34-31 loss to said Lions last night. Anderson played most of the game for the Packers at safety.
Great.
Fred Warner and the Niners host the Bears. Puka Nacua and the Rams host the Bills. Tyler Allgeier and the Falcons travel to Minnesota to play the Vikings.
5-seed BYU women's volleyball ousted in the first round of the NCAA tournament by Loyola Chicago yesterday back in Indiana. It was BYU's first round loss of the NCAA tournament since 2005. BYU finished the season 19-10. They're young, they're getting better, they'll be back next year.
Women's basketball beat UTEP 81-68 last night in old El Paso. Thanks to a career-high 27 points from Emma Calvert. She was on fire, barely missed a shot. Cougars improved to 7-2. They host Utah Valley coming up on Tuesday.
Ed Eystone and Diljit Taylor named Big 12 men's and women's cross-country head coaches of the year yesterday. A little anticlimactic because they'd already been named the national coaches of the year. Nice job, Big 12. men's runner Casey Klinger was named as the Big 12 Scholar Athlete of the Year. If they had just come out one day earlier, they'd have gotten a little more weight on their own honors.
And we haven't mentioned it, but Casey Klinger and his wife, Morgan Bauer, who used to be on the women's volleyball team, they had their baby a couple days after the national championship.
Have we signed?
Congratulations. Yeah, she did. He did sign with the BYU football team, which is pretty exciting as a 3-day-old. The indoor season for BYU track and field begins with men and women's distance teams competing at Boston University tomorrow. Shout out to the Terriers. My brother-in-law got a doctorate from there. That's so he's awesome. A BU Terrier.
Just think, if you could sign 3-year-olds or 3-day-olds, the NIL would cover so much diaper money.
I wouldn't mind it for my daughter.
Would sign that
I would
right
not mind
away.
It. After the break, a look inside how men's basketball assistant coach John Linehan's hometown helped shape him into who he is today in the latest Deep Blue. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B. I'm Jerem Jordan. He is Dave McKinn. Well, basketball has taken men's assistant coach John Linehan all over the world. He's never forgotten where he grew up, though. Chester, Pennsylvania shaped him. So whenever he can, he goes back and gives back to the place that made him who he is today. This is Deep Blue with John Linehan.
We are headed to the airport, heading out on a recruiting trip to the East Coast. If I get within a couple hours of Philadelphia, I always try to get home and see my family, see my mom, before I have to get out and get back to work. So it's always fun. So, when we were driving in, just thought about, those days of early morning, walking to practice. Chester is unique. From the standpoint of, there are so many great things that are here, as well as so many not so good things, but combined the two, they build character and strength.
Well, when John was coming up, Chester was really drug infested, and playing basketball was like one of the ways out of the so-called, as they say, ghetto.
I've seen a lot. This kind of place makes you grow up a little faster than normal. I grew up in the projects. I've seen, someone get killed. I've seen someone get shot right next to me. It's a blessing that I'm even here today because it was that close.
But it was always the basketball courts that the kids could go to and to be able to get away from all the madness.
If you come from a city like Chester, sports is your only way out. I didn't want to do drugs. I didn't want to do the other things that a lot of my friends and family members, kind of took that route. That wasn't in my future at all. I don't think I've driven through here in probably 20, 30 years probably. But it was like right in the middle of the whole project was a big field. And the best basketball in Chester was played here. Some legends used to come right here and play. Wilt Chamberlain, Connie Hawkins, all the big names would come here and play, because Chester's a big basketball town. Bit of history, basketball history, right? Honestly, I never felt like I had a rough childhood, though. I thought it was normal, but basketball gave me an outlet. It gave me something to strive for.
And he stuck to his craft, worked hard at it, was a gym rat, was in the gym constantly each and every day, always wanted to be in the gym and just work on his art. So that was a way for him to get out of here, and that's what he did.
When I was coming out of high school, I didn't have many or a lot of high-level scholarship opportunities to go to college and play basketball. So I signed a letter of intent to go to Howard University.
Left that morning, he was all packed. We said our little goodbyes.
I know he didn't want to really go, because John, he played with Kobe, he played against the best guards in the country. He did his thing on all of those players. They knew who he was. He felt some kind of way that he was going to have to go to Howard University.
I wasn't as excited about this step as I should have been. So we set out in the parking lot, missed the 10 o'clock train, then the 11 o'clock train, then the 12 o'clock train. Then my dad said, look,
life is what you make it. So, it's up to you. If this is not something that you want to do, I'm behind you 100%. don't worry about anybody else. You know, it's right now, it's what John wants. If you want to go to Howard, then you get out the car, he's gonna walk you to there, and you know, you get on that train and go to Howard. But if you don't, this is the time to say it.
I kind of felt that in my stomach, in my heart, that it wasn't the right choice. You know, so that's why I took that, you know, leap of faith and decided to bet on myself. When I came back in the house, you know, my mother was beet red, tears in her eyes, and you know, she stormed up the stairs and looked back and said, "You guys better know what you're doing."
I couldn't see straight. I was just so upset. I'm like, who turns down a scholarship? Time went on, it worked out. He was recruited over and he ended up at Providence College.
No, but at this train station some 30 years ago, I made a choice that changed my life.
When you look at John, you see a guy that doesn't have the prototype of a regular basketball player. He's just an average-sized guy. So for the underdogs that we have so many here in Chester, to see someone like John who had the skills, had the talent, but not the size, but the heart, to be the icon that he has been in Europe is just fabulous. So it's just a great story all around. I can't say it enough. Super proud of him and what he represents to us here.
It all comes back to Chester, man. Yeah. You know, remember the old sign that they used to have on the east side?
What Chester makes Chester.
Chester. What Chester makes Chester.
that's a classic that will never die.
Never die.
Yeah, well, you got a lot to share, man. For you to have been able to push through those barriers and not let none of them things get in your way. And you are a testament, bro, like, to the possibilities, man.
So what we have here, this is Chester High School homecoming. This is a big event. See my family, friends, and just, you know, touch my city again. So I love it. I love it.
You can see what John means to a lot of people. Everyone he saw wanted to hug him, shake his hand, rub his head or whatever. They're just so proud of him.
You know, when I was 17, I never thought I would be a coach, let alone at BYU. I mean, this is an unbelievable opportunity, but I try to just live and lead with a good heart. Always be mindful of people that are behind me, my mother, my father, my brother, my sisters, my family, you know, my city. You know, I represent them all on my chest. There are a lot of people that sacrificed and paved the way to help me be where I am today.
Great story on John Linehan. Not to be confused with Johnny Linehan, although we're friends with Johnny too. But cool to see him go back to Chester and be there for high school homecoming, which is pretty cool. And he is part of a tremendous, tremendous staff. And I mentioned this on the show before, but Kobe Bryant was asked in the early 2000s during the NBA Finals, who's the toughest defender you ever played against? He said John Linehan, This guy out of Philadelphia. And you saw some of the pictures there against Kobe in high school.
This staff that Kevin Young has put together on short notice is just, there's so many great stories on the staff, and then you get to the roster. And I do believe there is no circumstance where this John Linehan would fake a punt from his own 2-yard line.
And he's quick enough to probably get the first down.
You're probably right.
Yeah, we do love John and Johnny Linehan. Check out all the Deep Blues.
Yeah, they're waiting for you at BYUSN.com. So many, and you learn so much in so short amount of time. Check it out. They're waiting for you.
We'll put a bow on today's show coming up after the break with our elite voice of the day and today's Rise and Shout Out. Who's going to get it? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation's on demand. Download the free BYU TV and BYU Radio apps or listen to the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review.
For some reason on the IMDb profile, Dennis Pitt is listed as a co-host on this program, which I have a massive issue with.
But it feels like he's close.
Neither here nor there.
Feels like he's close.
Does it? Is he in the building? Our question of the day. How do you feel about Utah hiring Jason Beck as the offensive coordinator and Utah State hiring Bronco Mendenhall at Cosmo_duh_Cougar on X? If you don't have a BYU coach, you increase your risk of mediocrity.
Okay.
Apparently.
At Cougar Wire on X, both will do very well, and if it means we keep Hill and others, that's huge.
It was big to keep Jay Hill this offseason. He could have been a head coach somewhere, and let's be honest, probably still could. So let's keep Jay Hill, but it was nice to avoid the Utah State because I thought he was a great candidate for them.
Yeah.
Our elite voice of the day is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated at Cano of Picante on X. Great hires, both of them. I hope they're happy there. In the end, it's a game. These are good men working to make a living for their families. God bless them until they play BYU.
That's right. Which, I think that's how everyone
BYU
feels.
Utah next year. No BYU Utah State for the foreseeable future.
Right.
Yeah. Do you think BYU play Utah State at some point?
No.
In football? Never again?
Feels like it's over.
Mm. I think they'll play at some point.
I would love it. Well, I guess it's hard to say. I mean, 100
yeah,
years
hard
from
to
now.
Say.
It's hard to say. But
yeah.
on the immediate schedule,
yeah.
No. I don't think we're going to Logan, like,
no,
ever.
I don't think so. Yeah. Will basketball ever play Utah State again? Haven't in a couple years. Today's Rise and Shadow is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
All those Big 12 honorees.
Congratulations.
All those Big 12 National Coaches of the Year.
Yep.
Seems to be a bunch of them. And Bronco Mendenhall and Jason Beck coming back to the state of Utah to coach, provide for their families, have jobs, impact young men, and continue the BYU legacy of greatness.
Back in the Beehive State, thanks to Jeff Hansen. Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. For Dave, I'm Jeremy. Shout out to Jamie Beck. Go Cougs! We'll see where BYU's going bowling this weekend.